Well, good afternoon to all of you. We have a number of people out of town, as was mentioned in the prayer, traveling to camps and also to different areas, some on vacation. So last time we began our Bible study series on the book of Zephaniah, and we will continue that today. So we will look at Zephaniah chapter 2. And you might want to put a marker in Zephaniah, as we will be going to go back and forth in various other scriptures. So Zephaniah 2, verse 1 to 2. Gather yourselves together, yes, gather together, O undesirable nation. Undesirable there means shameless, a nation basically that was unabashed for their sinning. And that basically is referring here in this day, at this time, to Judah. Before the decree is issued, or the day passes like chaff, before the Lord's fierce anger comes upon you, before the day of the Lord's anger comes upon you. So now this seems to be like good advice, and that is to gather together, especially in repentance, before the decree is issued, before the day of the Lord begins. And of course, God has always wanted Israel to repent. And we see a similar prophecy. We won't turn there, but a reference scripture is in Joel 1, verse 14 to 16. And in that section of scripture, we see that Joel calls for a fast, a sacred assembly to gather the elders and the inhabitants of the land into the house of the Lord and cry out to the Lord for mercy and for intervention. And so you see that is a prophecy. But when you also look at the verb in Hebrew here for gather, it comes from a root word that means stubble. In other words, in a sense of gathering wood or stubble to begin a fire. And so it's like they're being compared to, all right, you're a shameful nation. You're not an unabashed nation for all of your sinning. So the day of the Lord's coming, so you might as well gather yourselves together because you're going to be punished. So there's two ways of looking at this. First of all, like I said, the gathering together, as it says in Joel, for repentance, but also because they aren't repentant, and the nation of Judah and Israel weren't at the time God was warning them, and neither will they be in the future. And so they've been totally apart from God. And so it seems like there should be this call to repentance, and also it looks like they are being gathered to be destroyed. Now, last time we concluded with chapter 2, verse 3, about seeking the Lord, all you meek of the earth. Now remember, this is the time that talks about the day of the Lord, when the day of the Lord intervenes. And so all you meek of the earth, seek the Lord. This is now to us. And we are being told to seek righteousness and to seek humility. And it may be that you will be hidden in the day of the Lord's anger. So that, as we saw last time, shows that the meek and the humble who seek after righteousness will be hidden, protected in the day of the Lord. And remember, that's the meaning of Zephaniah's name, to be hidden in the Lord. Let's go to verse 4 and 5. Now, when we look at these verses here in 4 and 5, we're going to be looking at a section of nations that were on the west side of Israel, west side of Judah. Gaza shall be forsaken, Ashkelon desolate. They'll drive out Ashdod at noonday. Now, these cities here were in the land of the Philistines. Ekron, these were major cities along the coast and in the area of the Philistine Empire. Woe to the inhabitants of the seacoast, the nation of the Cherethites. Cherethites were a tribe of Philistines that actually originated in the, emigrated there from the island of Crete. And so they were all listed here. The word of the Lord is against you, O Canaan, the land of the Philistines. So the Philistines were in the land of Canaan, and here we're seeing that I will destroy you, there'll be no inhabitant. So what we're seeing here are nations that will be affected by God's wrath in the day of the Lord. And these cities, as we look at biblical history, they did continually attack Israel and Judah. They did throughout their history. They were destroyed by invasion by various armies that came in, either the Greeks, the Persians, or the Greeks. But that was a first-time fulfillment of what will happen in the future, because the context here of the chapter is the day of the Lord. It's kind of interesting that this whole area, the seacoast, all the way went up to Lebanon, modern Lebanon. The firstborn of Canaan was Sidon, and Sidon was in Lebanon, all the way down to Gaza, where the Philistines were. And it's also interesting when it says that you will be attacked there, Ashdod, at noonday. It indicates a sudden type of attack, because during the noon, in the early afternoon, it was a time where people would just take off and rest and relax because of the heat of the day. So when something happens at noon, it's kind of like a sudden type of unexpected attack that will occur. And notice what will happen to this whole area. Verse 6 to 7. The seacoast will be pastures and shelters for the shepherds and folds for the flocks. And so the whole seacoast will now be pastures for animals, for flocks. Shelters there could refer to the type of meadows that have cisterns, water there available, or shelters for the shepherds. That whole area will turn into pastures. The coast will be for the remnant of the house of Judah. They'll feed their flocks there. In the houses of Ashkelon, they'll lie down in the evening. For the Lord their God will intervene for them and return their captives. And so you see this peaceful millennial scenario occurring in that whole area. Now, keep your place there, and let's look at Obadiah chapter 1. We read this when we went through the section of Obadiah so many months ago, a year or two ago actually. But Obadiah 20, and once again we see some prophecies that are similar here to Zephaniah 2. And the captives, verse 20, of this host of the children of Israel shall possess the land of the Canaanites as far as Zarephath. Zarephath was up near Sidon in the area of Lebanon. The captives of Jerusalem who are in Zarephath shall possess the gates of the south. And so you find this particular area, Zarephath, it was actually Zarephath that was close to Sidon, that whole area all the way down to the south. The south would be the Negev Desert. And what we're seeing here in this prophecy, that this whole area will bloom with vegetation, as we saw earlier, and other prophecies show that. It's kind of interesting now that the Israelis are taking water from the Mediterranean and going through a desalination process, and all that water is being funneled into this area to cause crops to grow. And so even they are able to do it in part. We know that God is going to be able to change this whole area from desert into an area of what we read back here in Zephaniah for flocks and it'll be an area where produce will bloom. So that, again, you see this prophecy there in Obadiah ties in here with Zephaniah. Let's go to verse 8 and 9 now in chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. We're now going to look at a different section of nations. We first looked at the section of nations on the west side near the Mediterranean Sea along the coast. Now we're going to look at the nations on the east. The east on the other side of the Jordan. I have heard the reproach of Moab, the insults of the people of Ammon, with which they have reproached my people, made arrogant threats against their borders. Therefore, as I live, says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, surely Moab will be like Sodom, and the people of Ammon like Gomorrah, overrun with weeds and salt pits in a perpetual desolation. The residue of my people shall plunder them, and they will, and the remnant of my people shall possess them. Moab and Ammon were the sons of Lot, and their descendants inherited lands that are located within what we now know as the territory of Jordan and a little bit south of Jordan. They were always at war with Israel, and even though God protected Moab and Ammon to have their own inheritance, you know, Israel coming out of Egypt could not go into their territories and take over, because those territories were given to Moab and Ammon. But even though those areas were designated for Moab and Ammon, when Jesus Christ returns, they will be given over to Israel. When the Messiah comes, that's what Israel will do. They will come in and take over those lands. Now, some might think, well, you know, Ammon and Jordan, they're seemingly to be peaceful with Israel today. And that's true, they are. But you read these prophecies and you see that things are going to change in that particular area toward the nation of Israel, at least in that area. Let's look at another prophecy about this in Isaiah 11 and verse 14. Isaiah 11 and verse 14. But they, and that's referring to Judah and Ephraim, they will fly down upon the shoulder of the Philistines toward the west, which we already saw, and together they'll plunder the people of the east, which we're now reading about. They'll lay their hand on Edom and Moab, and the people of Ammon shall obey them, shall actually come under being the servants and come under the nation of Israel at the time Jesus Christ returns. So Moab and Ammon will be plundered, and Israel will take possession of those areas. All right, now we go back to Zephaniah 2, verse 10 to 11. And here we find, again, two more verses describing these prophecies against Moab and Ammon. This they will have for their pride. And they were very prideful and arrogant. And they reproached and made arrogant threats against the people of the Lord of hosts. The Lord will be awesome to them. He will reduce to nothing all the gods of the earth, not only that are located in those areas, but all the gods of the earth, and people shall worship him, each one from his place, indeed all the shores of the nations. And here in verse 12, you Ethiopians also, you shall be slain by the sword. So what we're seeing here is what is going to happen to the nations of the west, the nations toward the east with Moab and Ammon, but now we're seeing nations to the south. What's going to happen to, as it says here, Ethiopia? Keeping our place here in Zephaniah, we're going to look at a couple scriptures in Ezekiel and Isaiah. Let's look at Ezekiel 20 and in verse 2. Ezekiel 20 I'm sorry, Ezekiel 30. Ezekiel 30. And in verse 2, we'll read verses 2 to 5. Ezekiel 30. Son of man, prophesy and say, thus says the Lord God, wail, woe to the day. The day is near, even the day of the Lord is near. It will be a day of clouds, a time the Gentiles, the sword, will come upon Egypt. Great anguish shall be in Ethiopia. And sometimes that's translated as Cush, you know, one of the descendants of Ham. When the slain fall in Egypt, they'll take away her wealth and her foundations broken down. Ethiopia, Libya, Lydia, all the mingled people, Chub, and all the men of the lands who are allied will fall with them by the sword. So these surrounding nations that had once attacked Israel are going to be dealt with, and they will eventually acknowledge that God is God. And what we find here is when you look at these nations along the coast, the Gaza Strip, and all the way up into Lebanon, and the nations on the east and the south, and Libya, and some of these other, as it says here, Lydia. Where's a lot of the terrorist activity originating from? It's in these areas, and they're all surrounding the modern state of Israel. We know that's basically the Jewish people, and we know that eventually the modern nations of Israel are going to be affected by all these peoples around. Let's notice these prophecies here in Isaiah. And we'll look at four of them. Let's begin with Isaiah 2, verse 17. Isaiah 2 and verse 17. The loftiness of man will be bowed down. So we saw that the arrogance is going to be dealt with. The haughtiness of man will be brought low. The Lord alone will be exalted in that day. The idols he shall utterly abolish. So that is prophecy of what will happen with all nations. And the Lord alone will be exalted. Isaiah 16. Isaiah 16. Verses 5 to 7. Isaiah 16, verses 5 to 7. In mercy, the throne will be established, and one will sit in it in truth, in the tabernacle of David, judging and seeking justice and hastening righteousness. We have heard of the pride of Moab. He is very proud of his haughtiness and his pride and his wrath, but his lies shall not be so. Therefore, Moab will wail for Moab. Everyone shall wail. For the foundations of Kir Hareseth you shall mourn. Surely they are stricken. So again, talking about what will happen to Moab. Look at now chapter 18. Chapter 18. Verse 1 and 2. Woe to the land shadowed with buzzing wings, which is beyond the rivers of Ethiopia, which sends ambassadors by sea, even in vessels of reed on the water, saying, go swift, messengers, to a nation tall and smooth of skin, to a people terrible from their beginning onward, a nation powerful and treading down, whose land the rivers divide. So here you find a nation powerful, a nation of tall and smooth of skin people. The Sansino commentary on this particular verse, or these verses, describe these people of smooth skin, tall people, and they say fit the Nubians of the Sudan. And again, what's happening in the area of Sudan? You know, how friendly are those people toward America and the modern nation of Israel? Not too friendly at all. So later we find in verse 7 that these people will honor God. Notice in verse 7, that day a present will be brought to the Lord of hosts from a people tall, smooth of skin, from a people terrible from their beginning onward, a nation powerful and treading down, whose land the rivers divide, to the place of the name of the Lord of hosts, to Mount Zion. So they will be honoring God in the future once God deals with them. Now we see another example of this honoring of God over here in Isaiah 45. Isaiah 45. Isaiah 45 and in verse 14. Isaiah 45, verse 14. Thus says the Lord, the labor of Egypt and the merchandise of Cush and the Sabaeans, men of stature, shall come over to you and they'll be yours. They'll walk behind you. They'll come over in chains. They'll bow down to you. They will make supplication to you, saying, surely God is in you. There is no other. There is no other God. So they will acknowledge God, and they will recognize that God is with Israel. Now we come back to Zephaniah 2, and we read verses 13 and 14, and we see another nation being described. It's interesting that this whole chapter is dealing with the nations on the west, on the coast of the Mediterranean, the Philistines, and then you have the nations on the east, Moab and Edom, and Ammon rather, and also the south with the nations of Cush and the Sudan, the Ethiopia. One more direction, north, and that's what we discuss now. He will stretch out his hand against the north. Destroy Assyria and make Nineveh a desolation, as dry as a wilderness. And we find that the herds will lie down in her midst. Every beast of the nation, both the pelican and the bittern, shall lodge on the capitals of her pillars. Their voice will sing in the windows. Desolation will be at the threshold, for he will lay bare their cedar work. So here Zephaniah is prophesying the fall of Nineveh, the fall of the Assyrian Empire, long before it actually happened in history. So we do know that Nineveh did fall, but Zephaniah is prophesying it before it occurred, and yet we also know there's an end-time fulfillment of what we're reading here. I want to read something out of the Unger's Bible Dictionary about Nineveh, a famous and ancient city situated on the eastern bank of the Tigris River, opposite the modern city of Mosul. I'm sure we've heard of Mosul in the news, there in the area of Iraq. In 612 BC, the ancient splendid city and capital of the Assyrian Empire was so completely obliterated, according to the prophesied decimation by the Hebrew prophets, that it actually became like a myth, that no one in the 17th century believed that Assyria ever existed because they couldn't find any proof of its existence until sometime in the 17th century, an archaeologist by the name of Austin Layard found Nineveh and found the site, and that has been extensively excavated, so the world is without excuse. They do know now that Assyria did exist. And there's all kinds of materials that they got from these excavations that are still ongoing. The prophecy shows that in the end, Assyria will be a roaming ground for the beasts of the earth, that the birds, the pelicans and the bittern, actually these are unclean birds, and they are going to perch on the capitals of the pillars, which means if you have capitals of pillars, where's the roof? The roof is gone because there's been destruction. So you have these pillars, and on top, the capitals, are going to be these unclean birds that are going to roost there. It talks about the cedars are going to be seen. And so what the Assyrians used to do is go up into the area of Lebanon and take out a lot of the cedars of Lebanon and take those cedars and use them for paneling in their walls of their homes. And for what we're seeing here is that the cedar work will be laid bare, shows that the city will be totally desolated. The homes will be totally desolated. Zephaniah 2 verse 15 goes on here. This is the rejoicing city that dwelt securely, that said in her heart, I am it, and there's none beside me. How she has become a desolation, a place for beasts to lie down. Everyone who passes by her shall hiss and shake his fist. This is unbelievable what's going to be happening here. Now, there's been a lot of prophecies in the past about what is going to happen to Assyria. We find the book of Nahum was really a prophecy basically against Nineveh. And let's look at chapter 3, verse 19. We covered this in the Bible study when we went through this book. But just notice what will happen with people when they go by Assyria after it has been dealt with. Your injury, verse 19, the last verse of Nahum, your injury has no healing. Your wound is severe. All who hear news of you will clap their hands over you. They'll applaud. For upon whom has not your wickedness passed continually? They were an aggressive nation, and aggressive against Israel, which we know. And they took Israel captive. And then look at Isaiah 10. And we are now going to see a prophecy about Assyria in the latter times. Isaiah 10 and verse 5. Because God will use Assyria. Isaiah 10 and verse 5. Woe to Assyria, the rod of my anger, the staff in whose hand is my indignation. I will send him against an ungodly nation, against the people of my wrath, and I'll give him charge to seize the spoil, to take the prey, and to tread them down like the mire in the streets. Now, that happened in 721, where they came in and did take Israel captive. But again, we're talking about prophecies of yet in the future. Verse 24. Therefore, thus says the Lord God of hosts, O my people who dwell in Zion, do not be afraid of the Assyrian. He'll strike you with the rod and lift up his staff against you in the manner of Egypt. And yet for a little while, and then the indignation will cease, as will my anger in their destruction. So once God uses them to punish Israel, he then will punish Assyria. And we find one more scripture on this over in Isaiah 30. Isaiah 30, verse 32. Isaiah 30, verse 32. And in every place where the staff of punishment passes, which the Lord lays on him, it will be with tambourines and harps, and in battles of brandishing he will fight with it. And we see that for Topheth was established of old. Yes, for the king it was prepared. For he has made it deep, verse 33, enlarged. Its pyre is fire with much wood. The breath of the Lord, like a stream of brimstone, kindles it. We see in verse 31, Assyria will be beaten down. So another prophecy of what's going to happen in modern day Assyria. So you see these nations that God is going to deal with. So what can we take away then from this particular chapter? What can we take away from this study? Well, basically, it is that you look at these nations that God has pointed out, the ones on the coast, in the areas of ancient, the Philistine areas, over here on the east, and then on the south, and on the north. And God is going to deal with anyone who fights against Israel. Anyone, he's going to deal with them. The point is, you just don't mess with God's people. You know, God has his nation, and sure, Israel is unabashed and is sinful, but they will be dealt with. They will be punished for their sins, but what are the nations who are getting involved in doing it? Now, of course, with Assyria, they are going to be used by God, but you see later, Assyria is going to be one nation with Egypt equal to Israel in the future. So, yes, God will allow for persecution of because of sin, but God will not tolerate any of those enemies to prevail against Israel. He just won't do it. Israel will always be the main nation of God, and that's what he will do when he establishes the kingdom, beginning with the millennium. And that's the theme, actually, of chapter 3. So we'll get into chapter 3 the next time we cover Zephaniah.